And so what I'm wanting to share about today, we're still on the kingdom of God, but maybe a slightly different angle in that I'm wanting to show today again how every part of the body is designed to function and to add value. And so for all of you sitting here, well, all of you who are saved, you're born again, you're in the body of Christ. This is for you. We are part of, so my title today is The One Another Kingdom. We are part of the kingdom of God that is not about individualism anymore, but we're part of a kingdom where we actually depend on each other. And in the world, individualism is something that is celebrated, and everyone wants to be an individual. We want to stand out from the crowd, want to make a name for themselves, because to be part of the crowd seems to be a very bland thing. Now, being part of the crowd is not what I'm saying when we're talking about the one another kingdom. But in the world, you know, basically, you know, you're either someone who, you're on one or two sides of the coin. You're either someone who has made a name for themselves. You know, you're part of the popular crowd at school, or you're, typically on TV, you're one of the Hollywood celebrities. You're someone who's wealthy. And really, if you've made it in this life, what it feels is a sense of pride, a sense of self. So that is part of the fall. Lucifer fell because of pride. So pride, the Lord resists the proud. So individualism can breed that. Another thing that it breeds for those who maybe haven't made it in this world is that people feel left out. They feel not wanted. They feel unimportant. And then it breeds insecurity. And so, you know, in God's kingdom that we are called to, that we are part of, it's just so different because it gives us a foundation that the world just doesn't have. And in God's kingdom, everyone firstly is created by God. We are known by God, we are loved by God, and we are precious to God. And that becomes our foundation. The Lord gives us belonging in His church. And He designs the church in such a way that no one can accomplish very much on their own. We actually need one another. And that would be like opposite to how the world would think. The world would think, I don't want to be needy. Being needy makes me weak. It makes me vulnerable. And I'm not going to last. But actually the way the Lord, you know, He's thinking, His ways are not our ways. And so in the church, we actually come to know that we need one another. And when we depend on each other and lean on one another, and when all the gifts come together, it produces a whole. And so, you know, the foundation is that is who we are in Christ. And when we know who we are in Christ, well, then we can serve one another and we can make space for others, and we don't have to try and dominate to be the main man. You know, in the world, again, if I have to just contrast it, in the world, it's very much about trying to define yourself. Almost like I'm creating myself, an image of myself. Whereas in the church, it's like the Lord has created me. And because He's created me, and He knows me, and He loves me, and He's chosen me, well, my inner core is just so solid. It's just so secure. In the world, it's like I have to try and stand out. I have to try be unique. I have to try and be better than everyone else. And then this competitiveness starts coming out, which is just anti-kingdom. And so the scriptures say things like this. Now, I want to just give us a couple of foundations. We are created by God. In Ephesians 1:4, it says He chose us. That's the Lord. The Lord has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Before you could do anything good or mess up, the Lord chose you. How amazing is that? There are other scriptures in James where it talks about that He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word. John 10:14 says, Jesus speaks and He says, I'm the good shepherd, I know my own and my own know me. And He speaks as a shepherd, someone who cares for each one of us. And there's no distance between actually the Lord and us. He is a shepherd who knows us by name. And in Isaiah it says that He writes our names on the palm of His hands. In other sections of the New Testament it says that the Lord knows who are His. We are loved by God. In 1 John 3:1, it says, see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. And so, you know, as a parent, I just know a parent takes an interest in their child. God takes an interest in us. And he loves us. He wants to see us grow. He wants to see us mature. He wants to see us pass tests. And he might even put tests in our way to see us mature. And so that's the Lord, who's like a father. Jesus introduced him as a father. It's not just distant God. You know, these are the foundations we have. Romans 8:29 says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." The Lord has this plan for each of our lives that was from eternity past. He always knew that he wanted you. He predestined you to come to him and to be conformed to the image of his son. And what that means also is that we don't have to construct an image for ourselves. We allow him to construct an image for us. So we're part of the family of God, and he starts putting his nature into us. And so, you know, in the world, you have to construct your own identity, but in the kingdom, he gives you an identity. So our foundation is just so much stronger. And then we belong to his family. We belong to his church. And so Ephesians 2:19, he says, "So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." So we were strangers, we were aliens, we were those who didn't belong. And now we are those who actually belong to the household of God. And these are the foundations that we do our good works from. We're not trying to do our good works to try and be better than everyone else, to try and shine, to try and make a name for ourselves. We do our good works from the place of who the Lord has made us. We are fellow citizens. We're members of his household. And so then the Lord makes us as part of his design. And really, this is the thought that I'm wanting to drop with us today. For me, it's a very important and a crucial thing, because it's so different to the world's thinking. The Lord has made us to need one another. The world celebrates that I don't need anyone. But Colossians 1:13 says that he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. So we're no longer part of that old kingdom where we're trying to, you know, show everyone like how amazing we are. We are part of the kingdom of his beloved son. And so there's this transfer that's taken place. I'm now part of the family of God. And I have value because he has given me value, not because I'm trying to prove my worth the whole time. And so, you know, in God's kingdom, we can't be fruitful or flourish in any way without the body of Christ around us. So in Ephesians 4:16, it says that he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And so, you know, in a sense, we were created to complement each other. And each one of us can only really fulfill a part of what is needed, a part of the whole. And so I've got this image here of like a whole lot of, if you can put it, that image of all the different colors of light. So, you know, if you put it, take all the colors of the rainbow, I mean, you guys know this from science, but I think it's one of the most amazing things that the Lord has done, is how he's designed that when all the colors come together, it produces perfectly pure white light. And when I remember being at school and hearing this, and it just blew my mind. This is impossible. How does this work? But this is very much for me a picture of the church. And, you know, the Bible does talk about, you know, just the Lord is the one who created the rainbow with the seven different colors. And he's the one, in the Bible it says that God is light, you know, and we can't even approach him in his unapproachable light. The Lord is so light. It's just like amazing. But when the church comes together and each of us have a particular flavor that we bring, a particular color in this illustration that we bring, on my own, I can only be one of those colors. If I'm blue, well, then that's what you're going to get from my life is blue. And everything that I do will be blue. You know, Christine might be red, and everything she says or does has that red flavor. For you, it might be yellow or the indigo or whatever it is, green. Just show us the next slide. If you take one of the colors out, well, immediately what happens is that it's no longer pure light in the middle anymore. It immediately gets changed. So if you take green out, the light changes. If you take red out, the light changes again. And I think that is really, really important because we need each other to really represent the Lord properly. You know, so Maddie Baker, welcome back, because without you back today, we would probably not be perfect. You know, Fred, I know you said you're a bit late this morning. Thanks for coming, because without you, you know, we would not have been perfect. Perfect. And so, yeah, I just really want to say, so 1 Corinthians 12 says that the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. We all need each other. And so the world can't think like that. The world goes, no, I need to prove how much, how worthy I am. And so when one becomes too dominant, well, even in the church, in our own brokenness, if some of us become too dominant, well, then all you're going to get from me is blue, because I can't produce anything else. I just think that's an illustration we need to remember. We need the other parts of the body. In your community, you need each color. Actually, I think it has been advertised, but I really wanted to really encourage us. So we got two gatherings coming up. What I mean by gathering is not Oxygen Life. There's an inland gathering in Kumani or Queenstown that's going to be happening shortly. And then there's also one in East London called the East Coast Gathering. And we've been talking about it as leaders. We actually really need a lot of you to consider going. I know there's a price involved. There's the petrol of getting there. But you will be hosted. But we're actually needing Oxygen Lifers to go because we bring a particular flavor. We bring a particular color that is needed in that sort of spectrum over there. And I mean, we could see it. Even Christine and I could see it when we went to Australia. Something of what we carried made a difference on that side. And it's an amazing thing. And so we want to encourage you guys, you know, try in the Old Testament. You'd see that a few times of the year, people, the Israelites, they would save up and they would travel together to the different feasts. And that is part of how they did their corporate religious life. And so we also have these opportunities to travel to be with other Christians who are part of our field and bring something of our flavor. A lot of that might not happen on the stage. It'll happen in homes as you're being hosted and as you're having conversations with people and you bring a particular flavor. Both of my kids, they love food programs, always watching stuff about food. But when Christine says I'm a foodie as well, so I enjoy strong tastes. But if you're cooking, you can't just use like one spice. If you use one spice for everything, then everything's only going to taste like that one thing. You need the different flavors. And so, again, it's another angle, but we need each other. The body of Christ doesn't need just one or two strong gifts. It needs the complement of everyone. So what I want to do just for a few minutes is to look at the life of Paul and actually to show you that this amazing man who was so gifted, probably the most gifted individual that we see in the Bible, he actually needed people around him all the time. And he would be the very kind of guy that certain people might elevate to go, Paul never didn't need anyone because he was awesome. He saw the third heaven open up. He saw Jesus. He spoke to Jesus he was amazing. And he was amazing. But he needed people. So let's just look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9, 10, 11. He says, do your best to come to me soon, Timothy. He's talking to Timothy. So Paul uses a lot of this very personal language. Like on his own, he's kind of going, on my own, it's like I'm battling. Timothy, do your best to come to me soon. But later he says, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's very useful to me for ministry. So he needs people around him. And so in his travels, he needed people to come. Again, when we were with the Verenas in Australia, and it's surprising to hear these things, but they were talking about how refreshed they felt, how boosted they felt with us just being there. And that's not with us coming and doing something special, just who we are. Being with them, they felt boosted. It felt like their batteries were taken to full. And so that's amazing. I'm just so grateful that I could be part of that. You know, and as others come to us, they will fill our batteries. And this is the way the Lord has designed it. In 2 Timothy 1, Paul talks about a guy called Onesiphorus, and he says, he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. And so Paul, you know, he traveled obviously to many different cities, to many different regions. They're always on the go. But wherever he went, there were these people that he knew. There were some people that didn't care for him, but there were some like this guy who says, he refreshed me. He was not ashamed of my chains. And as I was looking around this verse, it looks like this guy came, specifically found him, and took care of his needs. And it is just like an amazing thing for Paul, so much so that he writes it into the letters of the Bible. You know, two of the people that Christine and I saw at the conference was Vaynant and Rihanna, who were with us until last year and have now been in Australia. And very happy to say they don't have an Australian accent or anything like that. Still sounding Afrikaans. But they just said, like, can we just have a coffee with you guys? They really just wanted to see us and just to connect. And I could just see how important it was to them. And it was important to us as well, just to sit together, to encourage each other. There was something that, you know, they felt refreshed. We felt refreshed by just catching up. They're telling us about, you know, the new local church that they're serving in, the things that are happening there. And they were encouraged. We were encouraged by each other. Paul says in Romans 1, 11 and 12, he says, I long to see you. Yeah, he's expressing such need. I long to see you. And he's a bit late. He says, that we might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Again, this mighty man of God saying he longs to see someone and that he himself will be encouraged by someone else. You know, he's had such amazing revelations, yet he needs the Christians around him. And they need his encouragement as well. And another couple that that we bumped into after quite a few years was Lyle and Renee Webster. And so for those of you who've been around for like 5 years or more, you would know who they are. And it was amazing to see them because, you know, when Lyle left South Africa, he didn't leave in a great place in his own personal faith. And in a sense, I suppose that it was sad for us when they left that we'd never had this opportunity to really just stand together. And he came and he specifically asked Christine and I, he said, can I chat to you? And he came to, him and Renee, they came to us. And just with tears in their eyes, they were just apologizing for the way things ended off. There was no bad blood between us. It is really just, I think, didn't end off in faith, didn't end off strong in the Lord. There was a real season in his life, I think, where he was disillusioned. And now he's firing for the Lord. And it's so amazing to see this man who, when I first joined Oxygen Life, he was firing for the Lord. And we saw that for many years. And then we saw something happened to, I don't know what happened in his faith. He was struggling. And now to see that fire back in his heart is just amazing. I heard that last week you guys did 9 baby dedications and only got into worship at 9:45. So, but anyway, just to mention baby dedications, Renee was saying to us, they dedicated their 2 boys in Oxygen Life. And she really believes that that because we had dedicated their children to the church, and part of baby dedication is that we also ask the church to we sang, church, won't you also walk with these kids? You know, and she said when Lyle and her stopped coming to church because things were happening in their own hearts, the church were faithful. And the church kept on encouraging their boys. And their boys have never walked away from the Lord, even when they were far from the Lord. And she was just saying, it's because we dedicated them in the church and the church took it seriously. And we hear these stories and we just think, how amazing is this? And so it was actually wonderful to see Noah and and Daniel, 2 very good friends of Levi's, and just see them like operating in the church. They're real young men now, and they've grown up, and it's just wonderful to see. But so Paul, he never worked alone. He never traveled alone. He always had co-laborers with him. And so we look through the Bible, we see evidence again and again that this was the way of the kingdom. Not Lone Ranger superstars. So Acts chapter 13, we see that the Spirit sets Barnabas and Saul apart, and they travel together on the first missionary journey. He's not going alone. Even Jesus, when he sent the disciples out, he sent them out two by two. And then there's a method to the way the Lord does things. In Acts chapter 16, we see that Paul takes Timothy to go with him. And they Timothy travels in like this apostolic team with Paul, and they help to plant churches and to strengthen churches wherever they go. There were other times, you might remember, that Paul traveled with Silas. He traveled with Titus. There were all sorts of guys and different people that were part of their teams. And wherever they went, they were together. And they were bringing things that were needed. In Acts 18, we see that Paul meets this couple called Priscilla and Aquila, and they were tent makers, the same as Paul was, and they worked together making tents, but then they also ministered together. And so his missions were always team-based. And then Paul says this in Philippians 2:25. He said, "I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need." He describes a whole bunch there in one verse about this one particular guy, Epaphroditus. And again, we need each other so much. So who was Epaphroditus to Paul? Well, firstly, he wasn't just a colleague. He was actually someone that Paul really loved. He calls him a brother. And very often, you know, we're not like the world in that we talk about community life. We're not called to just be friends together, even in our communities. We're not just called to be friends. You know, friends come and go, but we're called to partner together in the Lord, in our communities, in our different relationships, and to work together towards, you know, maturity in Christ, discipling others, getting people saved, all these things. So Epaphroditus was not just a colleague, he was a brother. And then Paul says, not just that, he was a fellow worker. So not just a spectator, a co-laborer. And then he says, a fellow soldier. So this suggests someone that he did spiritual battles with. Someone they experienced hardship together. They experienced endurance together. Epaphroditus, he stood in the fight with Paul. And all of us need that. You know, even if I think about our communities and different projects that you might have together, as we work together, you can't do it by yourself. We have to have partners. And that's why many years ago, we realized, even with our communities, that some community leaders would do so much work in the community, but by themselves, that no one to partner with. And so we started trying to get, and we don't have this perfect yet, but we're trying as much as possible to always have co-leaders in the community to help the com leaders to shepherd and disciple their guys. So, I mean, even there, I could go into tangents of how we have structured things. We've got elders who oversee who are helping the com leaders. We've got deacons who are strategizing to do these things with the com leaders. And so we very much, it's a multi-layered approach of shepherding and discipleship and doing the work in the church. And then he says he's not just even a fellow soldier, but he is your messenger. So this church had sent, I think it is the Philippian church, had sent Epaphroditus to Paul to bring support to him, his financial support and practical support, but also to care for Paul personally. And then and to minister to his needs. So, I mean, this is like just amazing. And I was just thinking about, even in the life of Oxygen Life, this regularly happens. When we spot certain areas of need, we will sometimes send someone. And so about 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, we sent out Craig Crummock with about, I don't know, 25 people to Summer Strand to go and support Summer Strand. Ant was leading that congregation, but Ant wasn't a married guy, and they felt like, well, Summer Strand needs couples, and so we sent couples with Craig, and And very quickly, Summer Strand almost doubled in number. There was just a strength that came with Craig and Lisa going together as a married couple. Chris Farragher left here, and he went to Western Suburbs to go and strengthen and support on that side with also about 25 guys. And I remember it was hard for us, you know, giving it, like there was about 50 people, 50 adults, 20 kids, about 70 who left us to go and strengthen and support these other congregations. But in return, Brad sent Antel and Catherine to us. They had Warmer AM, and they have added so much to us. And so, you know, that's brought a different flavor. So we lost Craig and Chris out of our eldership team. We received Antel, and he has brought, like, energy and zeal. And I don't know, you know, we have to always try and keep up with him because he's run so hard and fast. So, you know, this is the way it is, and we help each other. And, you know, as you guys know, recently Fred has come on the team, and I was so excited with Fred coming on because I just knew Fred is going to add strength to us. So things are always changing. Different people come. They bring something that we need. One of the things I'm convinced of, if I had to be an elder on my own leading this church, well, everything would be blue. it just would have one color. It wouldn't be right. I very much know my need of these other elders. And it's a joy for me that when I go, I know that these other guys stepping up. Tom did a brilliant preach 2 weeks ago on forgiveness. Robbie last week on compassion. And so you got these different guys leading and preaching and bringing their gifts. And this is the way it's meant to be. Paul says to Philemon, he says in 1:24, he says, "Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers." He lists a whole range of guys that are his fellow workers. And I was just thinking, even the way we do things here, is that, you know, our congregation leaders, we have 9 South African congregations, and we meet together, our congregation leaders meet together every Tuesday morning. We meet together for the whole morning. And these are fellow workers. We work together for Oxygen Life as a whole. And we pray together. We pray together for all sorts of situations every single Tuesday morning. We talk with each other about situations in the church. We're strategizing. We're thinking through direction. And then when there are difficult scenarios that we're encountering, these are the things that we're helping each other with. And these are the exact things that when we go out, like even now at the Australian Equip, and so some of these pastors that I'm meeting who are lone elders on the ground, and you can see they're needing team. That's part of the reason why we go, is to bring some of that DNA across there. I could just see, you could see the strength coming into them just by hearing the different flavors coming together. Paul also, he shares his need for help from others to strengthen the churches. In 1 Thessalonians 3, he says, "We sent Timothy to establish and exhort you in your faith." And so there are these times where we're sending different gifts to different areas to strengthen, to exhort. Recently, I mean, I've been working this year with our J-Bay congregation quite a bit, but I can't get there all the time. And I've been feeling this. I can't be out this congregation too much, but I can see they're needing input. And so I've roped together Derek Rudman, and he's gone and preached there a few times, Sean Harrison from the PM congregation, and they've become like 2 guys that we are sending to J-Bay regularly now as well to try and add something of a DNA. So if you speak to Brandon, who leads the J-Bay congregation, he will say, "We needing Oxygen Life DNA." We will say, "It's not Oxygen Life DNA, it's Kingdom DNA." But I know what he means. He's saying, like, we are from other flows and other churches. We haven't seen this, this thing that you guys carry. Can you come and bring the DNA? And so, yeah, we send elders. We send elders often to go and preach into these other congregations. It actually helps them. It brings the fullness. It brings that color spectrum so that it all comes together, making white light in a sense. And so anyway, these guys have been super helpful with us. We've had conflict situations. We have needed their voices, training. I've said to Brandon recently, because he wants to teach his guys how to lead meetings. And I said, okay, well, what we're going to do is we'll just bring our whole eldership team and we'll do like a Zoom call or something. And we'll just, because I know all each one of our elders carries something of a flavor that is needed. And I don't have to come up with a massive big teaching. The guys have got it in them. So if we can show you how to do this thing. You know, in the same way that when others come to us, they show us angles that we are lacking in. And so this is the way the body of Christ is designed. In Titus, Paul says, this is why I left you. He's talking to Titus. Titus, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order. Again, like sending someone to a particular area to do something. I was just again thinking about right now, we've got Ray, who's a single elder by himself in St. Francis, but Ant has been going to supplement him, to bring other angles on things. And so Ant has been, like Ray just loves Ant and wishes Ant could be there permanently, but we're also going, Ant, but we also need you, yeah. So Johan Ferreira, who was part of us for a while, he's gone across to Utenag or Kericha and is bringing such great help on that side. And so this is the way the church is designed. You know, even when I was thinking about how does this apply to you guys, well, even in your communities, quite regularly, at least once a year, but sometimes more than that, we are making shifts. The elders will get together and we'll look at each community, we'll discuss things that are happening, and we will move people around to try and bring, sometimes all a community needs, they just need that little one extra spice, you know, that one extra color to make it good. And sometimes it just feels like it's our community is lacking something. You send one or two people and suddenly everything changes. And earlier this year, I know that Thomas and Liesl were sitting with the Andersons, and they were praying about the Andersons' community is really full, and they were going, guys, we need to send some of our guys to other communities. And so they did that probably about 2-3 months ago, and from what I've heard, it's been really helpful to other communities to have received some people who've come and just blown wind into their sails and added to them. And so Paul says in Philippians 1:5, he says, because of your partnership in the gospel, he uses that word partnership. And so the gospel advances through partnership. The professional way of doing church would be like one super strong guy who just preaches to everyone. But that's not the way of Christ. Even Jesus, he did stuff for a while to demonstrate, and then he said, okay, guys, now I'm going to hang back. I'm sending you guys to go and do all the things that you've seen me do. And so it's the way of the kingdom. It's not for any one person to make a name for themselves. It's not for any one church to make a name for themselves. But it's for us to add to one another. And so Paul's life shows us that he needed people personally. He needed them practically. He needed them in missions. And if this great apostle, if he who saw such great and amazing revelations, he was so gifted, if he still needed brothers to stand with him, friends to refresh him, and co-laborers to fulfill the call of God, well then we need to build our lives this way as well. And I'd like to just end the last little bit with Ephesians chapter 4. You know, we talk about being part of a partnership of churches, a family of churches called 412. Well, it comes from this piece of writing that Paul writes. A piece of writing that just shows that we are dependent on one another. And this is from the NLT. Ephesians 4:11 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. So it's not these amazing people themselves doing all the work, but they will equip God's people to do all the work that's needed to build up the church, the body of Christ. And so ministry is not done by few, it's distributed across all. You are equipped by others, and you are needed by others. And so it's the both and. We are equipped by others, and we need others. And he continues in verse 13, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. And so, according to this, maturity comes from being in unity with the body. It's not from being awesome on your own. Verse 14, he says, then we will no longer, if we are mature and we're in unity with the body, then we'll no longer be immature like children. And what happens to people who are immature? He describes it. He says, we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We won't be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. So people who isolate themselves from the church are the ones that are in danger. Those are the ones that are immature. And so you could have someone who's got 10 degrees in theology and they think they're mature, but if they're isolated from the body, they're actually not mature according to the Bible. Those who are mature are those that are part of the body of Christ and who are gaining the strength of the body of Christ. And that prevents us from being tossed to and fro by the wind and the waves. And verse 15, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. And so, again, so we speak the truth. As we speak the truth in love, we grow up. It's not personal, private Bible study, silent personal reflection. It's truth flowing between people. Again, like I'm just so convinced in my own heart. I need the elders around me, and I need more than the elders around me. I need the body of Christ around me to speak into my life so that I'm well-rounded and well-balanced. Because by myself, I know, and I'm not just saying it. If everyone had to stop speaking into my life would start going like this. Over time, would start veering off, and there'd be no one to stop me. So we need each other. Okay, so, and lastly he says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Verse 16, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.